2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold on to the teaching we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.
Just as I'm getting ready, I'll just make a couple comments, just response. First of all, I do still like Simon and Garfunkel, but that song I always skip when I listen to Simon and Garfunkel. Mrs. Robinson. anyway, so it needs a new soundtrack. But, wow. And the other thing is, I've aged a lot. I think we've all aged a lot. You can see, particularly in the kids, the last 4 years is a very important part of their life. And, it's been good. We carry a large part of this church with us in the age. You know, so it's more like a maturing like a fine wine kind of thing rather than getting old and haggard. And the last thing I'll say is I'm going to find it really hard preaching if I've got a picture of me on the right-hand side. So I ask you to turn it off. Things haven't changed, Fred. Well, my name is Andrew. I'm married to Ruth. Got 4 boys and 1 little girl. Been here for 4 years, assistant minister, and we've wanted to say goodbye personally to many people here, but I kind of wanted to also say it from the pulpit, from the Bible. I'm talking about leaving. I wanted to broaden it out. I wanted to think theologically. I wanted to think biblically what it means and how you actually do this thing that's very difficult called leaving. 3 things make it easier, I think. One of them is eternity, that we will all rise, we will all rest, we will all rule, and that we will do it together. That we will rise together, that we will rest together, and that we will rule with Christ forever. The one sitting on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." In the Old Testament, there's a prophecy of the redeemed of the Lord will come and they'll sing and everlasting joy will be upon their heads as they march up to the new Jerusalem. There will be a countless multitude of Christ's people. And so one of the things that makes it easier is eternity with Christ, rising, resting, ruling together. Other thing makes it easy, we're actually only going 35 minutes away. Just down the road, you know the Shire. has anyone been there? There's a bridge called Tom Ugly's Bridge. Okay, you cross over the bridge. On the other side is Sylvania. That's where we live. Go a little bit further around, and you come to around the corner, off a bit, and you come to Janali. That's where we're going to be at church. So it's only about 35 minutes away. So it's not that far. I know there's some people here on the North Shore, and so that means there's a few bridges to cross, but it's not that far. One bridge too far. And the third reason is there's always phones, there's landlines, there's mobiles, there's Facebook, there's SMSs, there's conferences. We'll probably come back and if you asked us, twist my arm, I'd come back and I'd love to speak at something here. Learning to say goodbye, there are things that make it a little bit easier, but it still is a hard thing. I mean, many people will miss us. I know that a lot of people will miss Ruth. And in a sense, perhaps even more, will miss the kids. I know that they'll miss you. I know that Ruth will miss you. I know I'll miss you. But I want to think more broadly about this idea of leaving. I want us to learn from God's word how to do it properly. And I've had to learn myself, I mean, how to do it. I had to turn to Paul's letters and learn from God. And I think I have learned a heck of a lot the last few weeks as I've been studying and listening to God's word. Let's pray that God would speak to all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that is a light for our feet and a lamp to our path, even through the times which we might regard as hard times. Father, we pray that you would shine that word into our hearts today. Speak to us of Christ. Encourage and strengthen one another to rejoice in the things gone, to send and to have confidence. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Three things that I think I've learnt that I think will apply to Ruth and I is these three things on the outline. First of all, and things that I've learnt, not just come up with my own mind, but thinking through the way Paul interacts with his people, is we thank God for you, we ask to be sent with a blessing, and we have confidence in you and in the work of the Lord in you. That last one's the most important. First of all, we thank God for you. He says here, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. One word stands out to me in that whole passage. We ought to do this. And it resonates with me. There's something about my relationship with you, your relationship with me, our relationship in Christ, which compels us, which drives us to pray for each other. We ought to always, not just pray, but thank God for each other. I know those verses so well, because quite a few times the last week or so, I've been praying these verses for each one of you by name. It makes us want to thank God for you. It's one of the most wonderful things you can do is to thank God for other believers in Christ. I wanted to have a conversation with every one of you. And I know the last few weeks, I must admit, I found the conversation last few weeks incredibly difficult. What do you talk about? You talk about moving, packing boxes. You talk about, you try and, you know, it's not the farewell conversation, but it's a hard one to have. And so I haven't known what to say. You want to come and have a word with everyone and just say the wise thing. And Ruth and I probably want to come and say something wise to each of you. We haven't been able to do that. We can't do that. We can't sort of say the pithy. Well, what we can do is to pray. And I tell you what, it has been an absolute joy to sit down, to kneel down, and to do it often again and again, to thank God for each of you. It's one of those things that, well, people have done things for us, people have supported us. Some people have done amazing things in support for this church. Some people have done amazing things in support and for Christ's sake. But that's actually not what gives us the ultimate joy. What gives us the joy is God. It's not thanking you. It's, I thank God. I ought to always thank the Lord God for each of you. It's that which gives us the joy. He says, I ought to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. To God be the glory, great things he has done. It's God that I can thank. It's the work of God the Father. It's the work of God the Holy Spirit. And it's work of God the Son, Jesus Christ. A pastoral tip. If you're a small group leader, if you're a leader of a Bible study, I just want to pass on a pastoral tip. Sometimes people in your groups can give you grief. Okay? Just be honest. Okay? And sometimes when you're pastoring the group, what you can focus on is the grief that you might be getting in one certain respect. Okay? I don't know what whatever it is, right? One of the things that's got to be your bread and butter is not to just focus on that. One of the things is to sit down, to kneel down, and to go through and thank God for every member of your group. To sit down and thank God for His work in the members of your family. To sit down and pray even through the church role. Pray through the people you know and thank God for His work in their lives. It does a few things. I mean, first of all, it reminds you of God and His work. And the wonderful ways that He's worked. I mean, I've been praying through this over and over again through people's lives. And you just cast back and you think, God has done that in that person's life. That person wasn't even a Christian 4 years ago. Or God has made that person into a mature leader. Or someone who is growing. Someone who is serving for Christ's sake. And it reminds you to see the work of God. And I tell you what, I mean, at the end of the time, there are hard things. I do look out and think and praying for people. And there have been people who have walked away from Jesus Christ over the last 4 years. And that's been very, very difficult. But to go back over and remind yourself about the many, many people who have been loved by the Lord, chosen by God, saved through this shaping, sanctifying, making holy work of the Spirit through belief in the truth. Well, as I said, it's the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I do interactive bits in my sermons. Is that's true, isn't it? Yeah, people have been around? Yep. I'm going to do some interactive ones at the moment just to keep things going. Could someone say, what is the work of God the Father in those couple of verses there? God the Father has chosen us by name. He has chosen you. What else? Verse 14. Yep, sorry. He calls us. He sent out. What, I don't know when it happened. Some of you it happened 10 years ago. Some of you it happened last year. Some of you might have happened a few months ago. That He had sent out a call. And He said, Andrew, I want you to come to me. And it's such a strong call that you cannot resist it because He brings them home. And He chose us and calls us through the gospel. What's the work of the Holy Spirit? Sanctifying, making holy. That's what sanctifying means. Turning us, setting us apart. It sometimes refers to an ongoing act, you know, that a Christian walk is, and you know, it's like a two-step forward, one-step back, you know, becoming more like Christ, and then, didn't go so well, becoming more like Christ, two steps forward, one step back. But I think this is referring to something even bigger, which is a setting apart, that He can look down from heaven, and once He has sanctified us, set us apart, and He looks down and He says, these Thessalonian Christians, these media workers, these residents of the inner west, they're actually mine. They're stamped with this. They've got God on us. It's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 is a great one. He says that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's this great moment where what happens to Jesus is what happens to us. We died with Christ. Be assured. We will live with Christ. If we die with the death of Jesus Christ, then we will rise with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is what I said, is the great hope that we will rise with Christ, rest with Christ, and rule with Christ and with each other. And so, it has just been a joy. And particularly this morning, had a great prayer time praying for each of you. Thanking God for His work in your lives. One of the other things we need to do is saying, I'm trying to get through this without crying. Thanking God. Well, that video made it very difficult for me. Thank you. thanking God for you, but also to be asked to be sent with a blessing. I think that's one of the things I want to ask most of all, is to be sent with a blessing. And that's what Paul is prays about. Paul had spent about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks with this Thessalonian church. 3.5 weeks. I've spent 4 years here. Paul had went through intense suffering and persecution. There was a riot that kicked him out of Thessalonica. Hasn't happened yet here. Yes, I've got until 3:30. I think there's going to be a riot next door if you want to join us for a riot, the barbecue. But this is Paul's prayer. He wants to be sent with a blessing. He's left them behind. He's written stacks of letters to them. His heart's with them. He doesn't just say he ought to always pray for them when he's with them either, does he? He doesn't say that. In fact, it's probably the opposite. The thing that compels him to pray with them is that he's not with them and that he is gone. And so there is this unity. Here is Paul's prayer. Finally, brothers, pray for us, chapter 3, verse 1, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. He wants to be sent with a blessing. He's not asking, first and foremost, for long life or happiness or good health or even friendships, although they're all good things. And I'm happy if you pray for any of those things for us. That's fine. But he has a clarity. He sees right through. And he says, no, what I want, it's quite interesting. Pray for us, he says. Pray for us that the message may spread rapidly and be honored. And that they had a protection from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has the faith. First, that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, goes out and spreads rapidly. It's as though this message has a life of its own. And does. It's like Paul's there and he just follows ahead of it, behind it, next to it. But the message is the thing that works in and amongst the church. The message is the thing that works in and amongst the community. And so the prayer that we covet is that the message would spread out. The church we're going to is a very good one. Ginelli is in the Sutherland Shire. And the word of the message of Jesus has already spread there. But please pray for us, for Ruth and I and our children, that it would spread more. In Annandale, amongst the media workers, the word of God has spread for the last many years. But please pray that it would make real inroads, more inroads into the media, into the inner west, two of the hardest soils that Sydney has. I mean, Sutherland's called the Bible Belt of Sydney, which means that about 5% of people go to church or something like that. What I'm asking is that the Word of God would spread. The last... And actually, it's interesting. He says, pray that it would spread just as it has been here. I mean, that's kind of appropriate, that I want that kind of prayer. The last... time, I've got so much to thank Dominic. Thank God for Dominic and for his leadership at church and his friendship. But one of the things I'm a bit worried about when I go to Ginelli is they keep on saying this, and I went for a staff meeting. They kept saying, well, let's think about what we're doing here. And I kept saying, well, at our church, we do this. At our church, we do that. Well, Dominic says with this, pray that the word would spread there as it is here. I mean, we're already planning next year to be running Introducing God in the middle of the year, to be doing Ideas That Change the World, which was church put together, and then at the beginning of the year to be running the Welcoming Course, which Kath and Liz McQueen put together. And so certainly I'm taking stuff with me, don't worry. But one of the key words here, I mean, of all this, is the word rapidly. Okay? Wants the message to spread rapidly. There's not enough time for games. There's no game time in this world, in this area of life. Christ may return People in this world are dying without hope, and we need a rapid spreading of the word of Jesus Christ. We need people not just becoming Christian, not just growing in Christ every month. We need it happening every day. What happened? Paul spent 3 years working in Thessalonica. Sorry, 3 weeks in Thessalonica, got kicked out of the mob riot. And the astonishing thing is, he says, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was in Thessalonica. I mean, it's really well honored, wasn't it? For Paul to be there in the synagogues 3 weeks and then to get kicked out by everyone, the synagogue leaders plus the rest of the town gathering together to kick Paul out. And Paul could actually say, God's word was honored in the city of Thessalonica. Now, why was God's word honored? Because there was a young church that stood firm in the midst of hardship, in the midst of intense suffering, that Paul, if you read the Bible, it's probably one of his favorite churches. If he's allowed to have favorites, I think he is. It's his favorite church, Thessalonica. He keeps talking about the Macedonians. This is one of the Macedonian churches. Philippi and Thessalonica, his favorite churches. And he says, the word of God was honored amongst them. Absolutely honored amongst them. Because these group of believers stood firm. They turn from the idols to serve the true and living God and wait for the Son to appear from heaven. And they became a model of all the churches. So please pray that the message may spread rapidly and be honored down there, just as it was here. Well, what about the other bit? How do I apply this to the shy? And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. I'll throw it to you guys. How is that going to apply in the Shire? Serious. What's that? I'm being delivered. Thank you, Guy. I'm going to miss you, Guy. I'm being delivered from the inner west, is what the way Guy's interpreting it. I don't think that's right. I think there's those people are everywhere. I think it's going to be one of the things. I know this is true, and I've already felt it a little bit, and I know Dominic has felt it more. The more you stick it out in Christian ministry, and the more you take stands for Christ, the more hardship that comes. If you don't take stands, no hardship comes. If you don't stand up for things, then you won't get people opposing you. I think you need to keep praying for Dominic, that he'd be delivered from wicked and evil men, because not everyone has faith. But the more stands he takes for Christ, the more opposition he will get. And I think for us, I'm only 32, but I can see those kind of things already happening. And the more you stay in ministry, the more you need deliverance from wicked and evil men. It's a sign that you're doing the right thing, just like Jesus did the right thing. Well, learning to say goodbye. We thank God for you, and we ask to be sent with a blessing. And lastly, we have confidence in you and the work of God in you. See, what Paul commands, he is confident in. What he is confident in, he prays for. I'll say that again. What Paul commands, he is confident in. And what he is confident in, he prays for. Look at verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Paul was with them 3 weeks, but they were with him for the rest of his life. I've been here for four years. You'll be with me and Ruth, and I think at least our older kids, for the rest of our lives. It's our first church after college. We were here in the early days of this church. Has a special soft spot in our hearts. You guys mean so much personally to us. And we share the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And my longing, I share with Paul, verse 15, that you stand firm. That would be the news I just want to hear. Love to hear. You know, every month I say, they're standing firm. They're doing well. They're moving forward. They put on the whole armor of God. We learned about it in the men's breakfast yesterday. Ed did a fantastic talk.
the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we stand. And after we've done everything, we stand in Christ. And so we want, I pray that you would stand. And he said, that prayer he puts in verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. He gave us this already, eternal encouragement. Eternal encouragement. Is it an encouragement that lasts for eternity? An encouragement that is grounded in the eternal one. An encouragement that is grounded in eternity with that eternal one. And he's given us good hope. And the prayer is that he would encourage our hearts. That means to strengthen them, courageify them, to make up a word. Give them courage and strengthen us every good deed and word, so that our hearts will be for Christ, our mouth will be for Christ, and our lives will be for Christ. And I love the fact that Paul commands it, he prays for it, and he's just so confident. Why is he confident? Because God is God. And he says at the end, chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do all the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. Stay in the love of God. And into Christ's endurance, his perseverance. I want to say goodbye. Personally, I want to say goodbye from the Bible. On behalf of my children, on behalf of my wonderful wife, we thank God for you. We ask to be sent with a blessing. But the good news is we are confident in you, and more than that, in the work of God in you. I'll let us in prayer. Father, for this church, we ought to always thank you. Because from the beginning, God, you chose them to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Father, you call them through this gospel that they may share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work. Father, out of the confidence we have in you, that you are faithful, that you will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. In the confidence we have in you, that you will continue to work in us the things we command. Father, direct our hearts into God's love and to stand firm in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.